Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with a pair of experts from the Stanislaus National Forest, talking about firefighting, notably prescribed fires, which are prevalent this time of year on the Stanislaus National Forest. Joined on the telephone by Jim Janae, who is the Groveland District Ranger, as well as Beck Johnson, who is the Forest Fire Management Officer for the Stanislaus National Forest. And Beck Johnson, I'll turn back to you. The question, you had mentioned ladder fuels, and can you explain a little bit more about what that definition means?
Yeah, ladder fuels are those fuels that allow for fire to move from the ground into tree canopies. Now, those may consist of smaller trees that have the canopy that reach down to the ground, but are that transition between the ground and the taller fuels or trees, vegetation.
And going over to Jim Janae once again, you know, when you have a prescribed fire, is, you know, one time enough, or is it something that you have to go back multiple times to hit?
Yeah, fortunately for us living in California, you know, we have this great weather, which is very conducive to growing fuels. So the forest is not a constant. It's constantly changing. So typically it's going to be a two or three time entry for prescribed fire to get the conditions you want on the ground.
You know, for the Groveland Ranger District, has it been pretty busy this winter season when it comes to prescribed burning yet?
Yeah, finally, several weeks ago, we got some weather that allowed us to get out and start doing some burning. So we've been burning almost every day now for the last month, trying to catch up on, 2020 was a rough season to do any prescribed fire with the weather and the COVID. So we've got a lot of catching up to do.
Are there some other benefits of prescribed fire that haven't been brought up that are also worth noting?
Yeah, for those that visit the forest, you know, it gets difficult to walk through the forest sometimes if it hasn't been treated, and wildlife also has a issue getting through some of the thick stands. So the more we can open it up and make it for visitors to enjoy the forest or wildlife or even cattle grazing in the forest to get through, it certainly helps. It's just a healthier stand, less competition for the trees that you have remaining. And produces a little more water because you're not using so much with the vegetation.
When you have the big mega fires, you know, and then you've had prescribed fires, you know, earlier in the season or the year before, do you notice quite a bit of a slowdown for those big fires?
Yeah, so we can definitely see a different fire intensity when we have either treated the landscape that gets a wildfire or a piece of landscape that has experienced wildfire in the last 5 to 10 years. It certainly influences the fire intensity and our ability to control the new wildfire.
You know, about a month or so ago, we had some weather come through and it was dry, and we had the Abernathy fire that I understand was over in the Groveland Ranger District. Any observations on that fire or how that's been looking here recently?
Yeah, so we checked the fire yesterday. It certainly is much better shape. We didn't find any hot spots or smokes within the fire line. When that wind event hit, the live fuel moisture was still fairly low because we hadn't received much precipitation for the year. So with the wind pushing that fire and the dry live fuels, it was able to move pretty good.
What was the latest? Was that about a 390-acre fire?
Yeah, a little over 400 acres when we finished counting up the acres.
Well, I'll go back over to Chief Johnson. Were there some unique challenges in fighting that particular incident?
Absolutely. We had to had resources on forest, but we did have reduced resources because it's that time of the year where we don't have the maximum complement of resources, meaning firefighters. So we did have to ask our neighbors, ask the Sierra National Forest, and there were some pre-positioned resources in the Southern California area, so we asked those to come help us, and it was very successful.
Were there any access challenges with that particular incident?
That fire is actually right off the road, on both sides of the road where it occurred. I did not hear of any access challenges with that road.
Is access typically an issue with the Stanislaus National Forest, being that it's such a widespread area, not necessarily the Abernathy fire then?
It really depends on where the fire starts. There may be access problems. As you remember, the Rim Fire in 2013, when that started, there were challenges with that fire when that, because of where it started.
So when you first have, you know, fires that you're assessing, I imagine you have to look at, you know, is this a fire that you need to put out right away, or is it something way out in the middle of nowhere that you can allow to do some benefits?
So we look at firefighter safety, and then we look at how we can safely put firefighters on that fire to either, if we need to, suppress it, or if we can look at other options and utilize our tools in our toolbox to suppress that fire.
A lot of times we see aircraft from Columbia Air Attack Base going to various fires. Does the Forest Service have its own air resources as well, or is that all coordinated with CAL FIRE?
We do have our own resources, and we have national resources also.
So you mentioned during this time it was kind of a lower end when it comes to the number of available resources. How does that work, or when does typically the things ramp up, and when does it kind of slow down?
So generally, the first 5 months of a year, we focus more on prescribed burning. There are those times, such as when the Abernathy fire started, that conditions are such where wildfires can burn. And then as we transition June, we're still looking at prescribed burning, but then we start to pick up on small, less than 10-acre fires. In July, sometimes we get some lightning. That may occur either in July or August. Generally, our large fires start in August. The Rim Fire, the Donnell Fire, the McCormick Fire, were all large fires that started mid-August or early August. And then in October, we generally get moisture and we can start looking at burning again. That isn't always the case, as last year, where we didn't get the moisture, so we weren't burning.
So you anticipate with the recent rains that we had, would it be an optimal time to potentially do some more burning here over the coming weeks?
Absolutely, yes.
You know, are there burns pretty much in, prescribed burns in most all the districts this winter, or is it just certain areas? What can people, or should they keep an eye out for?
So we have been burning on all of our districts this year as we are in prescription. So remember I discussed the prescription of the burn. If we are in that prescription, then we will be burning.
So if they see smoke, it's likely a prescribed burn this time of year?
Generally it is, and generally it's pile burning at this time of the year.
So what's the difference between pile burning and the other type of prescribed fires?
So pile burning is piles of fuel, vegetation, tree limbs, etc., that we've piled to burn. We also have broadcast burning, which is where we apply fire in a controlled manner across a landscape within a project area, a defined project area that has fire line around it.
When you do the broadcast fires, roughly how many resources would you say that you typically have on those incidents?
It really depends on the complexity of the burn. Generally, we have overhead, which consists of a burn boss and some other overhead. And then we have the resources needed to keep that fire burning where we want it to burn. So it really varies. It could be three engines. It could be more than that. It could be a hand crew. It could be more than that. It could be a combination of resources.
When it comes to keeping an eye on the weather, is a situation where, say, you have a planned burn at 9 o'clock in the morning, it comes down right to that 9 o'clock hour to make sure everything's lining up all right, or can you kind of tell ahead of time if the weather's going to be generous?
Yeah, we're usually looking at weather trends, and we pay attention to the general weather forecast, and then we also look at specific spot weather forecasts, which is weather forecasts specific to that burn area. So we're paying attention to that over a couple of weeks, months, looking at the trend to see if we're going to fall into prescription for that burn.
And Jim Janae, anything else to add on any of these things that were just mentioned?
Yeah, so as you were asking about, you know, whether up to the minute of starting a fire, when we get to that point, we do what was called a test burn. So we'll light off a little portion of the unit to see what the reaction is to fire, if it's going to meet our objectives or not. And so it's a last minute call as we determine, based on the prescription and fire activity, if we are going to have a go or a no-go on that burn.
Do you get quite a few no-goes, or most of the time can you tell ahead of time?
Most of our test fires are successful and we move forward. It's only on certain occasions where we're not successful, or maybe things got a little too wet and they're not burning as hot as we want them to.
We need to take one more break. We're talking about prescribed fires in the Stanislaus National Forest, talking with Jim Janae, who is the Groveland District Ranger, as well as the Forest Fire Management Officer, Beck Johnson, with the Stanislaus National Forest. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. A programming note: next week, we'll be talking with Daryl Slocum, who is the Executive Director of the Sonora Area Foundation. It's been a challenging year for many nonprofits in the community. He's going to get us up to speed on some of the things that the foundation is working on. We'll be back with our final segment on fire coming up here in just a minute.